Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Today, I want to talk to you on the topic of trusting God when it's hard. Trusting God when it's hard. Who knows that life isn't all sunshine and rainbows? That there are difficult moments, seasons, times that we go through. And I think it's important that we as a church have been in a season, a difficult season. And here's the thing, when you're in a difficult season, you can either go through the season not learning or not picking up something that God has for you in it and miss the point of the season and potentially walk through another hard season. Or you can allow the Holy Spirit to do the work within you that builds something of resilience, something within you that whilst the enemy may be working his hardest to make it terrible, God has the ability to turn mess into something marvelous, has the ability to turn something that was meant to harm you to be this very thing that actually strengthens you. But it all is determined upon our posture. It all determines about what, are we leaning into him or are we just trying to manage and get through whatever it is that we're getting through? You know, I like this time of year. My wife and I usually at this time of year, as we head away on holidays or we've got some time where we're not working, we'll often do a bit of a year in review. I don't know if you do this, but we'll go through and we'll look at, okay, how are we going in our relationship? What's working really well? What are some things that we need to work on? We look at our finances. That's what happens when you're married to an accountant. But we look at our finances and you find out what subscriptions that you've still got and you're paying for that you're not actually using. Thanks, Club Lime. And we kind of go through and we look at, okay, this is all the things that we're doing and, okay, what adjustments are we going to make? We look at how is our family going? How's our kids going? We look at all of these things. How's our schedule going? And I enjoy it because oftentimes you can look back and you can see all of the things as you were consistent through the year. We saw an outcome or fruit of being disciplined or whatever it may have been in that space. But in the same time, it can also be a little bit discouraging as you remembered the intentions that you had at the start of the year that through the variety of circumstances in life have derailed what your plan was and you end up a little bit further away than where you planned. 2024 for me was a little bit more of that than it probably was all of the victories. I can remember sitting in January and excited about what God was doing. I could see we're heading in this direction. I'm excited for what God is about to do and what's happening next. It's like a kid on Christmas Eve or on Christmas morning, like ready to unwrap the presents from God about what is he going to do next. And then all of a sudden, Australia Day kind of hits and my world gets turned upside down. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, what's happening? And of course, okay, I've got responsibilities. I've got to lead my family. I've got to lead my life. I've got to lead a congregation and a group of people through a difficult circumstances. And sometimes when we look back at a year, we can go, oh, there wasn't much great that could have come out of that. And so many times we look at things and we go, oh, I missed out in this space or I didn't go forward in this space. And I look at things and I feel like, oh man, I lost a mentor, I lost a friend, I lost a spiritual leader, I lost an encourager, all of these kind of things. And I remember sitting at home in my chair and pondering all of these things and saying, God, what's going on? What do I do with all of this stuff? Because in all of our lives, there are things that maybe we had hopes for, but it didn't turn out. We had disappointments based upon, this is where I thought we were going, yet I find myself here and I don't really know how to. It's important that we know what to do with those things in our life as much as it is about planning for the future. It's important that we know how to process, how to care for our soul, how to look after things while keeping an eye on what God has done and what he is saying he will do in the midst of those things. So sitting at my chair at home and just sitting with the Lord and saying, God, what do I do? Where do I go with this? And with everything that is going on, this one question just kept coming back to me. And it was, Dave, do you trust me? Dave, do you actually trust me? You know, we say this a lot in our Christian circles. We say, you know, God's in control and he's building his church and we trust God. And they can become great catchphrases and all of those things, which are really important. But sometimes they can lose the substance or the realness of what it actually means to trust God. What does it look like to actually put your faith in what he said? As I was contemplating this, I was reminded of, as I was growing up, we would often get in the car together as a family. Dad would be driving, Mum would be in the passenger seat, me and my brother in the back seat. We're heading off somewhere, wherever it may have been. Might have been travelling down to Melbourne for Christmas. And I don't know if this ever happened to you, but oftentimes I'd be sitting in the back and Dad would be driving and we'd be heading some way, and then all of a sudden my mum, who is an external processor, who's you want to know what she's thinking, you ask her, it comes out of her mouth, and she's just that kind of person, all of a sudden disagreed with a way in which Dad was driving the car or the way in which we were getting from point A to point B, whatever it may have been. And a circumstance, instead of just kind of leaning over and say, hey, Dale, like, could we, why are we going this way? She would often reach over and grab the steering wheel. Now, as a young kid, I'm observing how to drive and I'm thinking to myself, I have to, like, learn kung fu moves. Like, get away from my steering wheel. I was remembering these moments. This had happened a few times in my life. And as I'm remembering this, God starts to speak to me about, actually, that's the way that we live our life. God says, hey, I've got a plan for you. I've got a destiny for you. I've come to be with you and bless your life and save you and set you free and deliver you and all of these amazing things if you let me drive. So we say, no worries, God, you can drive. You drive the car. You lead wherever my life goes. You're in charge. And the moment that it starts to go in a direction we didn't see, we have this tendency to go, oh, hang on, I know where to go. I'll just grab the steering wheel. Oftentimes when this would happen, thankfully my dad obviously maybe had experienced this a number of times, but would often just look over towards my mum and just say, honey, do you want to drive? And I feel like, for many of us, God will often say, okay, if you want to go that way, if you want to take control again, if you want to relinquish the trust again, it's okay. I'm happy to step out of the driver's seat and allow you to do it. As I'm thinking about this, God starts to reveal to me moments throughout the year where all of a sudden I said I trusted God, but yet I had one hand on the steering wheel saying, God, I know how to deal with this. I know what to do in this situation. See, trusting God is not just a one-time decision, but a constant trust that, God, I believe you can see things that I don't know about. I believe that even though I thought we were going down this street and down that way and that would be the quickest way to it, I trust that you know more than what I do. It's so easy for you and I to be people who all of a sudden say, okay, God, yes, I trust you, but at the same time too, we're holding onto the steering wheel of our own life saying, God, I trust you, but we need to go this way. And God, being the ultimate gentleman that he is, says, okay, you want to go that way? We can go that way. As we come to a close in 2024 and as we step into 2025, my heart for my life and for your life is that we would continue to learn to trust that God in the driver's seat of our life is actually better for us than what we think. That we learn what it is to trust, even when God, it looks like there's roadworks ahead. It looks like this is going to delay our moment. This is going to stop us from stepping into the fullness of what you promised. Yet I trust you. You know, the Bible talks about how the Old Testament is so beneficial for us that it speaks to the coming Messiah. It speaks for our lesson and our learning. And I'm reminded of God's people, the Israelites. For the sake of time, I won't read the whole story because it's over a number of books and a number of chapters. But we see that God's people, his chosen people from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right through to Joseph, then they find themselves in Egypt. They find themselves in slavery, in 450 years of slavery until the moment that God comes in and rescues them. That the spirit of death comes over them, and it's only by the laying down of a perfect lamb and the blood that are put over the doorposts that death would pass over them. Speaking of the life of Jesus, the perfect life, the one who did not deserve to go to the cross yet went to the cross. Why? For your and for my sin. Not only that, but God then leads his people out of Egypt in an impossible situation. The superpower nation of the time having complete dominion over that entire people group. Yet, because of God's hand, because of his marvelous grace, he allowed them not just to leave free men and women, but he actually blessed them on the way out. The Bible says that they would go to the Egyptians, and the Egyptians freely gave out their gold, freely gave out their things. They not just left slavery, they left into freedom with the abundance that God had freely given them. It is such a picture of what God does for us if we allow him to stay in the driver's seat. Not only that, God takes them to Mount Sinai where he appears to them on a mountain. The mountain shakes, it quakes. Moses goes up, meets with God. Not only does God save them and set them free, but he actually says, hey, I want to make a covenant, an agreement, a contract with you that I will be your God, you will be my people. I will set you free. I've got a land that's perfect for you. I've got a land of promise that you are going to love. It's going to be amazing. If you just, these are the things, you just follow these things and it's all good. And so they meet with God. God fills the tent and they take the tent out and they get an 11-day journey to the edge of the promised land. And all of a sudden, they send some spies out into the land. Maybe if you've been around church, you know the story. 12 men go out. Only 2 men come back with a good report. Oh, there's the Amalekites, there's these people, there's those people, there's all of the ites. They're tall, they're short, they're big, they're whatever. The fruit, the produce of the land is awesome. But we are like grasshoppers amongst them. Can I just stop and say for a moment that we need to be very careful what comes out of our mouth. If there's one thing that this season, this last year has taught me, guard your mouth. The Bible says that he made us in his own image. And so much so that when God spoke, he created things. Do not for a minute underestimate the power of your declaration over your life. Do not for a minute underestimate the power of what you confess or what you complain about. Can I just be real with you? I've spent more time on my knees repenting of what I've complained about. Why? Because I don't want to see the harvest of the complaint that I've declared. So God sets up these people, they get there, they hear the report, and instead of trusting God in all that he said, hey, I've prepared this land for you. I'm going to go before you. I'm going to allow you to rest in this land. I will fight the battle for you. Yet they decide to allow what they saw become a greater reality within them than the word that God had said over them. It's so easy for you and I to allow our natural eyes, our natural perception to alter, to shift, or to become more important than the word that God has declared over our mouth. Again, will you trust him? As we step into 2025, will you trust him? You know, it's interesting that in this particular moment, that fear came over the people. And I've heard it said that fear is actually faith, but in the wrong kingdom. That fear is seeing, oh no, this is impossible. There is no way that this is going to turn out well. Fear is believing in what I see over what God has already declared. And you can identify fear by three main things. I'm sure there's more, but I came up with three. First thing is that fear will paralyze you. My wife and I, we did a trip to America number of years ago, and we went to Las Vegas and went and had a look there, and we're staying on the strip, and right down the end of the strip is a hotel that at the very top, 950 odd feet in the air, they've got like theme rides up the top. One where you can literally, they've got these steel rods, so you can literally jump off the end of the building and free fall down and hopefully land safely. And so my wife and I, at that stage, before kids, were a little bit more adrenaline junkies. And so let's go and have a look. So we go there. Now, they're really smart because you buy the tickets for the rides, not at the top, in the lobby. So we're like, yep, we'll go on everything. And so we get up the top, we jump in the lift, we get up there. Now, I didn't realize this, but at the time, I thought I had conquered my fear of heights. But I step out of the elevator and then I'm like, my legs start to turn to jelly. But we've already bought the tickets to these rides. I'm not wasting the money. So one of the rides was this claw. You sit in it, there's two seats, there's four lots of it. You sit in it and the arm goes outside of the building and then you spin. And as you spin, you go from looking to the person in front of you to looking straight down at the ground. And I'll never forget this. There are these lines, like these metal bars for lining up, as if there are hundreds and hundreds of people lining up. There wasn't. There was like seven of us, the insane people. And I can remember, Louise was totally fine. Let's do this. It's going to be awesome. I was holding on to the metal bar going, I want to go, I want to go, I want to go. Hand, let go. Let go. Like, I swear my fingerprints were in that metal. I was freaking out. There was another ride that's like a roller coaster, but it's not like a roller coaster goes around. It literally just drives out and back. But the problem is it drives out off the edge and then it tilts down and up. So they send you back up and then they shoot you straight down as if you're going to the ground. I have never been so scared in my entire life. And I can remember sitting on a couple of rides going, I physically can't move. My brain is saying leg work. My leg is no. You let us hear brain. That was a dumb decision. We are not taking any more instructions from you. But this is what fear does. God speaks over our life. He says, you're a world changer. You're a transformer. And yet we come up against the Goliath. We come up against an obstacle. And all of a sudden, we shrink back. We pause, we hold. Why? Because fear grips us and it can paralyze us. But here's the thing, is that it was never meant to. Fear was never meant to paralyze you. It was actually to be the very thing that you stepped into and had victory over. Another thing that fear does is fear very quickly forgets what God has already done for you. The nation of Israel, they're standing on the promised land. They see the giants. They see all of these people. They see fortified cities. But they forgot that God just delivered them from the superpower nation of the world at that time. Like, so quickly did they forget about what God had done for them that the obstacle in front of them became too big. Why? Because they started to focus on it so much. Many times in my life, I face something, I come up against something, and I forget about all of the times where God has come through. He led me through that season. He helped me through this season. He set me free in that season. He looked after me in this season. And many times, if we would just look back and remember that God was faithful then, He will be faithful now. If he was faithful in that scenario, he'll be faithful now. If he was faithful when I had nothing, he'll be faithful now. Will we trust God? Last thing that fear does is fear is actually trusting in things that we can see more than the God who created those things. Like when we actually articulate it, we recognize how strange it really is. That we're so focused on the things in front of us, it's an impossibility. Yet God spoke and the world existed. He's a good father. He actually sets you up in a place where you can't lose if you remember what he has said and that he's with you. I want to be a kind of person that in 2025, I trust God more than I ever have before. That I would lay a hold of what he has said. You know, there are some things in our Christian life that come to us. Salvation is a free gift. You don't earn it. You don't have to come to enough Sunday services, growth tracks, whatever it may be in order to be saved. You are saved purely by faith and trust in what Jesus did on the cross, by your repentance, then you are saved. It's a free gift. Jesus is coming again. Doesn't matter whether you agree with it or not. It's like, it's not up for debate. That is happening. There are some things that come to you, but there are other things that you're actually going to have to contend for. There are other things that God invites us into. He invites us to step out and to grow into the full maturity so that we can lay hold of the promise that he has designed us for. If you look at Exodus chapter 23, God actually says that as I'm going to drive these people out little by little. Because if I did it in 1 year, the beasts of the field would grow so much that they would overtake you. Some things are actually won by the consistency of staying firm in what God has said. And it builds something within you. It builds a resilience within you that I'm going to lay hold of what God said. I believe that he is a healer. I believe that he is my provider. I believe that he is the one that is a good and faithful God. Some things you're going to have to lay a hold of. Some things you're going to have to stand in fear, up against fear and go, not today. I'm going to trust God. If he said it, he will do it. The Bible often says that we are known or we are a people of faith. Goes on in the New Testament says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we need to actually understand what does it mean to lay hold of faith and what does it look like? The first thing is that faith actually empowers you. When the 12 spies went into the promised land, Caleb came back with a good report. He said, yes, there are giants in the land. Yes, there are cities that are well fortified. But if God said it, we can lay hold of this thing. Oh, did you see the size of the grapes? Did you see what God, this land is good for us. If God is with us, faith empowers you and recognizes whose you are. One of the things that I've learned in this season is that sometimes the posture at which I fight with determines the outcome. Let me explain that for a minute. When I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I became a child of God, which means that I am seated with him in heavenly places. Whenever the enemy comes at me, I have already won, not because of what I did, but because of what Jesus has done. And sometimes we are fighting a fight in our own strength instead of actually saying, God, I'm your child. You've already won the victory. I'm trusting that you're going to deliver this. Sometimes we're like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to win this battle. And other times it's like, actually, you know what? I just need to remember whose I am. I need to remember that I'm a child of God, that as I declare what God has already said, it changes things. I may not see it in the natural, but the God who created all things, who's over all things, who holds all things together, wants a person and a people to declare and agree with the very thing that he's already said. Faith will empower you. Faith also remembers what God's done. See, we have a choice. Do we agree with the fear that's presented to us, or do we actually lay hold and remember, hang on, God's been faithful in every other season. God's been faithful in that season, in that season, in this season. He will be faithful now. If he said it, he will do it. Could it be, like Pastor Raph shared, that 2025 is actually a season where we start to build and we see the grace and the hand of God as we start to lay a hold of the very thing that he's promised over us individually and over us corporately. Faith knows that there is more than meets the eye. See, God created all things. You and I may not be able to see it. It's been said so many times, I don't know who said it, but often I've heard said, if it's not good, it's not over. And I think sometimes we need to lay a hold of that. Is that I may be facing a difficult circumstance or situation, but if it's not good, it means it's not over yet. As I lean into him, as I trust him again, God, I trust you in every season, not just when things are going well, but in every single season. I lay a hold of you. God, let you just do what you do best. You know, it's interesting, they spent 40 years in the wilderness, traveling around. What's fascinating is they had the pillar of cloud by day, the fire of God, the manifest presence of God in their very midst, everywhere they went. And yet, for 40 years, they found ways to complain. They found ways to see fear. They found ways to disregard the very manifest presence of who God was. He was there with them. You know, there's so many times in my life I've kind of laughed and scoffed at the Israelites and gone, how could they miss it? I mean, it's right here in print. How could they not see it? And then as I look at my own life, I'm like, oh. I don't know if this is just for the unspiritual person in the room, but how many times do we go, oh, how did they miss it? They had the manifest presence of God, the glory of God in the middle of their camp. They could get it. They get it at the camp. They could see. That's where God is. And yet they become so familiar with it and they lost their awe and wonder of who God actually is, and they started to look at what they didn't have. Instead of God the provider, they looked at everything else and said, this is what we don't have anymore. Could it be that we actually end up looking at all the things we don't have and miss the very person of Jesus that's standing right there in our midst? As they came back a second time to the promised land, they come up and this time Joshua is now leading the people. They're about to cross the River Jordan and there's a verse that, if you've been in Numa for any length of time, you will have heard it, Joshua 3, verse 6. It says, consecrate yourselves today, for tomorrow the Lord is going to do great wonders amongst you. In actual fact, when they'd gotten there, the Lord actually spoke to Joshua again and said, hey, with all of the male servants in that were born in the wilderness, you need to go and circumcise them that they would be following the customs of what I'd set out, that they would be identified as God's people. Paul talks about that circumcision doesn't have any value, but it's actually circumcision of the heart. It's a heart posture that identifies that I am someone who follows what God has said. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is the one that leads me, guides me. In other words, there had to be a laying down of something a relinquishing of something before they could step into the very promise of what God had for them. As the team comes back and as I come to a close, do we trust God? Like, do we really trust Him? Or have we spent so much time complaining about the things that aren't yet fulfilled what He's promised? Have we ruined the very thing or delayed the very thing that God's been trying to get to us because of the confession that's been coming out of our mouth? Because of the attitude that we've carried? Because of the sense of what we've needed to fight for or whatever, instead of actually allowing God to fight the battle for us? I believe that as we step into 2025, there's going to be a year of great abundance, great favor, that God is going to move, that He will be faithful to what He said. What He started, He will complete. What He started, He will complete. But maybe there's some things that we need to lay down. Maybe there's some things that we need to leave in 2024. Maybe there's some things that we need to actually repent of, to say, God, I'm sorry, I missed it. Would You forgive me? The Bible says that God gives grace to the humble. In other words, as we humble ourselves, as we come before Him, He gives us grace. Grace upon grace upon grace. Maybe there's some things that we need to lay down for this year. And I'm praying, even right now as I'm speaking, that the Holy Spirit is starting to identify maybe moments during the year, maybe different things that He's just kind of putting His hand on, say, hey, will you let that go? Maybe it's a disagreement with a family member. Maybe it's a disagreement with somebody else in the church. Maybe it's something else that you've thought, you know what, God, I'm going to do it my way instead of trusting You. Maybe it's in the area of your finances. I don't know what it is for you. I know what it is for me. But there's an invitation today. Would you lay it down? Would you let it go? Would you allow God to be God again and trust Him? Why don't we stand? God, I thank You that You're here with us, that You never left us, that You never went away, that Your grace and Your mercy is brand new every day. God, I thank You that we don't need to worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough cares of its own. But God, we trust You today. God, I'm asking by Your Holy Spirit that You would identify anything within us that we need to let go, that we need to lay down, that we need to repent of, that maybe we need to stop saying moving forward. Stop confessing moving forward. God, we want to be those people who live with clean hands and a pure heart. And God, we can't do that of ourselves. We need You. We need You to come and wash us again, come and renew us again. But God, we lay our life before You, say, whatever it is, God, whatever it is that needs to change, we are open to hearing from You. In this moment, if you feel like the Holy Spirit is saying something to you, I don't want you to just kind of stand there and do that. I actually feel like there's an incredible invitation to step out in faith, say, God, here I am. I'm coming to lay it down before You right now. And as the team sing this song, I want to encourage you, if that's you today, why don't you come to the front? Why don't we let go? Let 2024 stay in 2024, and let's step into 2025 and all that God has for us right now. Why don't you come right now as the team sings?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realise that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.